Garrett from the Man Cave. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching with your daily devotion for May the 22nd. Guys, today we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're looking at a great story, but it's a warning, okay? What it's going to be like. I want to ask you a question. Imagine this. You're living your daily life. You have a family, okay? Everything's going good. You've been going to work in the morning, okay? And the weekends, you're going to the park, you're going boating, you're going to the movies, you're going jet skiing, you're doing all these fun things. One morning, you wake up, and the entire world is in calamity. I mean, there's no order, okay? There's martial law. Your ATM doesn't work. There's no funding at the bank. I mean, everything. There's murder. There's rape. There's all this looting. There's these groups of men going house to house to house. There's all, and you're just like, what gives? What gives? The Bible calls it the rapture of the church. And when it happens, all hell will break loose on earth. When that happens, the Bible tells us that there are going to be so many people who thought they were going in the rapture, but who have been left behind. And you're like, well, why is that? Because they didn't know God as He truly was. They had an understanding here, okay? They had a thought about God. They thought He was like this or this, but they never did it His way. They never actually had a really, what the Bible would call is a personal relationship with God, meaning through His Son, Jesus Christ, and they did it exclusively Jesus's way. And so there's millions. The Bible tells us there's going to be millions who are left behind, but the tragedy is these people most likely were going to church every Sunday. They were tithers. They were taking communion. They were doing all the rituals, okay, all the ceremonies, okay? They may have even been going Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, okay? They may have been a part of this group over here or this group over here that was part of the church, but they just didn't have a relationship with Almighty God. It eluded them. Bible warns that in every single church, there's going to be people that are wheat, which represent those who go to heaven, those who are gathered by the angels who are taken up in the rapture, but there would be chaff, which would be like the wheat. It would look like the wheat. The actual terminology is called the darnel seed, and that is what it looks like. You can't tell wheat from a darnel seed until it's harvested, and only God can tell the difference, okay? Watch this very carefully. And so when this happens, there's going to be so many people here that probably attended last week's service at the church who thought they were in right relationship with God, but only to find they've been left behind. Where's that story at? Well, the story of the rapture is in 1 Thessalonians, but we're going to 2 Thessalonians because when this takes place, there's a man who comes on the scene, okay? And who is that man? We would know that man by the Antichrist. Friends, make sure what you have is real. I mean, honestly, okay? Because here's the thing. If the rapture happened on a Saturday night, most of the churches in America would be having service Sunday morning, and their pastors would be in the pulpit preaching them. And watch this, they're going to have to give an excuse, okay? They're going to have to tell the people there, because all the people there are sitting in church, okay? And it's only 10% that are going to be gone, and they're going to be saying, where did these go? Where did they go? We thought we were saved. And they're going to tell you the greatest lie ever, okay? And you're going to believe it. Word is this, they never sold out to God. He was more something that they added a little bit unto. But they really never sold fully out to God. It was just, you know what it is? They call it fire insurance. I just don't want to go to hell. I want to live my life the way I want to live it, and I want to continue living in sin, and in idolatry, doing what I want to do, being master of my own life, me, myself, and I. It's about my pleasure, okay? I want to do all these things, but I do want to have that safety policy here, you know, because here's the thing. I'm diversified. I want to make sure I'm going to be okay in the end. And you're never okay in the end when you're outside of Jesus Christ and when you haven't sold out to God, okay? Look at the seven churches of Asia Minor. Five of them were absolutely rebuked. Change or else. It is those who continue to the end that will be saved. Matt, that was the longest intro ever, okay? Okay, let me get to the text. Today we're in Paul's writings. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 3. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until the rebellion occurs. Meaning there's going to be a great falling away in society, in churches, around the world. Meaning this, we're already seeing it today. This is what the text is saying. There is a falling away. People want to kind of do what they want to do. They're tired of church. They're tired of obeying God. They want to watch what they want to watch. They want to incorporate into their life what they want to incorporate in their life. They love the sex that's secretive, okay? Meaning outside of marriage. They love adulterous affairs. They love being drunk. They love all the things that God says no to, and they really are excluding from their lives the things that God says yes to. But he says there's a falling away, meaning this. They just kind of, what is it? It's a church of Laodicea. They weren't hot for God and they weren't cold for God. They were lukewarm. So that God just says in his word, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. But before that happens, there is a falling away. There's just people there just so nonchalant. They say they're Christians, but they're not living for Christ. They say they're Christians, but they're not really zealous. They say they're Christians, but they want to go to church. Oh, I don't even want to look for a church because, you know, those people are all hypocrites, including the person I'm talking to, including me. We're all hypocrites. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so we find all these different things happening just like God's word said it would 2,000 years ago through the penmanship of Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there's going to be a falling away. And we are seeing it today in society. What's the next thing that takes place? The next thing that's going to take place according to Scripture, okay? Well, here's the thing. After the forsaking, okay, and many believe after the rapture, the man of lawlessness shows up. The Antichrist, the son of perdition, means the son of destruction. He shows up on the scene. Something happens in the world, so calamic, okay, something is just thrown everything off, whether, and everyone has their idea, and the son of destruction steps up on the world stage, okay? After the falling away, we are seeing the falling away now. What are we waiting for? Something to happen in the world stage to bring about this person, this individual, to introduce you and I, and hopefully not me, I hope I'm in heaven with God through the rapture, but to introduce those people, okay, that are left behind to this individual who comes as a man of peace, who comes as a person of light, which is just the opposite, Scripture tells us. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the man of doom and destruction. He opposes and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or worshipped, so that he sets himself as God up in the temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Meaning at first, he's just going to give good advice. He's going to say, we need to do this, we need to do this. Hey, we need to all work together. Have you ever heard that? Hey, we need to all work together. That's not true at all. Friends, listen, we don't all need to work together. If the people you're working with are going in the opposite direction of Jesus Christ, His Word and His Spirit, you don't want to be around them. God says, forsake that. Work with people who are like-minded, meaning they're going to heaven. They're Christians. They are lovers of God. So no one's going to heaven that's not a lover of God. And so if you've been left behind, ask yourself this question, did I really love God? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. But besides that verse that Jesus speaks, do you love God? I mean, are you thinking about God? Is He number one in your life? Or is it your portfolio? Or is it sex? Is it money? Is it power? Is it your job? Is it your influence? Is it the initials before your name, behind your name? Is it that position you have in that group and everybody looks up to you as to be a leader, but really you are a leader unto destruction, taking them to the gates of hell? Who are you in the story? Jesus says in verse 5, he says this, don't you remember that when I was with you, I told you these things all the time, and now you know what is holding him back. Jesus said these things were going to take place. He said, see, when he comes back, he's coming back in the clouds. You're going to be able to look at his wrists. You're going to see the scars. You're going to look at his feet. You're going to see the scars. You're going to see him with the angels. You're going to see him with those people who have already been raptured, okay? Once you've been raptured, he's coming back again, okay? Why? He's going to split the Mount of Olives. He's coming to be Lord over all the earth. Man comes on the scene, okay? He's the son of precision. He's the son of destruction. He comes as an angel of light, but he is an angel of darkness and destruction. Listen, he's embodied by Satan. He's a devil worshiper. Watch this, though. This is so interesting. But somehow he takes over. There is. Watch this very, very carefully. In verse 7, it says this, and I think it's so interesting. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. That's talking about the restrainer. That's talking about the Holy Spirit that is holding back evil, okay? But once, okay, the restrainer is withdrawn, that's that one aspect of the Holy Spirit, this guy, which is the Antichrist, the son of perdition, okay, the beast, whatever you want to call him, he comes on the scene, he's embodied with Satan, okay, and he comes to destroy and kill, and he exalts himself as Almighty God. The Bible talks about the secret power of lawlessness is already taking effect. It's already here with us now. And you're like, well, Matt, what is that? What is the secret power of lawlessness? It is something that has been incorporated into our churches, into society, into the world system that's already set in place, almost like a stage for the Antichrist to come on in, take control of that, and he will embody the power of the world. There's a lot of people out there that they want a one world order. I mean, they really do. They want a one world currency. They want a one world religion. They are dying for it. And here's the thing. Scripture says you're going to get it, okay? And what this guy does is he capitalizes on their lawlessness, their darkness. He capitalizes on what they think is good, okay? And he manipulates that and brings destruction as he destroys them as well, okay? A lot of people thought it was the UN. the United Nations, that this guy's going to come on, he's going to do it. That is one aspect of it, okay? Because he has to control the United Nations. He has to control, this is the Antichrist I'm talking about, he has to control the nations of the world. Something's up happening. This individual manipulates the system that's already set in place, okay? It's a system of lawlessness. It's a system of deception, of lies, okay? People who confess themselves to be wise, they're fools. They didn't realize what had taken place. They believed the lie. But then they're given even a greater lie to swallow. Read the text. But verse 9 says this, "The coming of the lawless none will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing." Meaning this, they will believe the lie because they are in darkness. They are perishing. Their number's already been called. It's only a matter of time before they close their eyes in death and they open their eyes in hell. Next is telling us this, that the Antichrist comes along with power, with miracles, with all. Well, how can he do that? Well, he does it through Satan. But the platform that he's taken, watch this very carefully, okay? He has signs and wonders. He does all these crazy things and people are following him in droves thinking this is the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He's an anti-Messiah. He's the Antichrist. He's the opposite of Christ. Christ comes in the clouds. This guy just appears up on the world stage because of calamity. Because of what? Because of judgment. Because of what? Because of sin that man has incorporated into their lives and their daily nations, okay? And so he has all these things. Listen to the text. It's very interesting. And then I'll explain it. If you forgot where we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're in verse 9 now, and it says this, "The coming of the lawless one," meaning the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, "will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing." They perish, watch this, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. Who is the text talking about? See, these people are perishing and they were left behind in the rapture. Why are they perishing? Because they are forsaking the truth. Who is the truth? If you know scripture, you know Jesus calls himself the truth. They don't love the truth, the word of God, and they don't love the person of truth, Jesus. Okay? If they love the truth, they would obey the truth. They would forsake these belief systems, these groups, these false religions that they've incorporated themselves into, and they would read scripture and they'd realize, hey, what I'm doing here doesn't jive with what I read here. Okay? What they're asking me to do doesn't play out the same way this plays out. Okay? Love my neighbor as myself. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't deceit, don't do all these things. Okay? You with me so far? But the Antichrist comes on with signs, miracles, wonders, and they're just like, oh my goodness, it has to be God himself in the form of Jesus. But it's not.
The text, not me.
They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. I said, no one is going to heaven that doesn't love Jesus, doesn't obey Jesus. They don't understand the concept because of what? Because of darkness. Some of these individuals have actually emptied themselves of light. Light always refers to what? It always refers to God. Some individuals have emptied some of these rituals, okay, some of these cults and false religions have actually prayed and said statements, emptying themselves of light, okay, and then saying, I come in darkness. Friends, when you did that, you just blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You just took your names out of the Lamb's Book of Life, okay? Do you understand that? God is always referred to light. Why in the world would you empty yourself in light? You're saying you believe in God, but you're emptying yourself of the God that you say that you believe in, and then you're incorporating darkness? Friends, that is saying this, I give up my rights to God and I ask Satan to come into my life. That's what that statement means. See, if we understand John, and John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. There's no difference between what Jesus speaks and the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? He was with God in the beginning. So it's saying, in the very beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. But in 2 Thessalonians, it says, because they didn't love the truth and came up. Watch this. They came up with their own concept of truth. They're blinded. They believe the lie. They've swallowed it down whole. This was written 2,000 plus years ago. What individuals would be doing today, and friends, they are doing it. There is a great forsaking going. There are individuals who have incorporated darkness into their life. By their decisions, by their choices, they live a life that's contrary to the Word of God, His way being the truth, His life being everlasting, okay? They've incorporated what they wanted to do, thinking they are gonna make it. They're not making it. So friends, here's the thing. You're like, man, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not kidding me, but there's more, okay? I read that, okay, why people are lost, okay, because they don't love the truth, but there's more after that statement. It says this, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. We went over that. For this, verse 11, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Did you hear what I just said? Let me read it again. Because, yeah, you heard it. Because I remember the first time I read this, I was like, there ain't no way that 11. Says that. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. What is the reason? God is sending, in the King James, it says he sends them a lie. That they'll believe a lie. Why? Because they're already believing a lie. That there's another way to get to God. Do you understand? They're already in darkness. These people this text is talking about have incorporated darkness in their life. They've incorporated a belief system that's contrary to God, a false religion, okay? They've incorporated in their life and they're working to get to God through works, through something other than the gift of God, the blood of His only begotten Son, okay? And so they don't love Jesus. They don't love His Word. They've added unto His Word. They've joined this group. And what does God says? He sends, because they're in darkness, because they're already believing a lie, from Satan, I'm going to send them an even greater lie. Why? So they can be damned even worse. Verse 11, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth but delighted in wickedness. See, these individuals all have one thing in common, okay, over here that I'm talking about. They are wicked to the core. The inside of them is darkness, and they're acting that out in their imaginations, their thoughts, their actions, their belief systems, okay? That there is some other way other than Christ. And since these people, these individuals who are in darkness and evil, are so into secrets and scheming, God says this, I'll play along with the game because they're already condemned to go to hell. I'm going to send them an even greater lie, and they're going to think that the Antichrist is the guy. He's the guy that's going to solve all of our problems. He's the guy, the son of destruction, the son of perdition. He's the guy that's going to make everything right to establish the one world order, to bring the one world religion, to bring the one world currency, flip the dollar on the other side. It's happening. Friends, what it is leading you down to the gates of hell. You believed the lie in the beginning, and now a greater lie has come upon you, and you've swallowed it down whole. I know there's people out there saying, I just don't believe it, Matt, that the whole church I'm with, they're all going to be lost. No, not all of them. You know what I'm saying? Just the majority of them, as God's word says. Because what? They have a false belief system, okay? They don't really know Jesus, because if they knew Jesus, they would be born again. You would see that life. You'd see rivers of living water, the fruit. You would see the fruit. You'd see all the things that God said you would see. They wouldn't be actors and actresses, okay? They wouldn't be like living like hellions during the week, okay? They would be the real deal, possessors of a life that's been given to them and the free gift that they've received. And they're just different people. You can see it on their faces. You can see the glory of the Lord. But if we go to Revelation, okay, it addresses the seven churches of Asia Minor. So the church of Thyatira, it reads like this. Jesus says, I know your deeds. I know your love and your faith, your service and your persistence, and that you are doing now more than you've ever done before. So he's congratulating what? One individual within that church that's doing it right. Because remember, every church has seven individuals. The seven churches of Asia Minor are represented by seven individuals. So he's talking to the person who's doing it right. Nevertheless, okay, now we're going to talk about the rest of them, okay? I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misled the servants into sexual immorality, meaning there's individuals within the church who are leading you to think that this is okay, this lifestyle is okay, meaning they're adding unto God's word, they're taking away from God's word. It's using the word Jezebel, but Jezebel was rebellious. She was into idolatry, she was into Baal worship, she was into Asherah poles, which was this, I want to have sex because that is about my pleasure. It's all about me, my power, wants, and needs, okay? It has nothing to do with God. God's just added unto the scene. I just got to get to heaven, okay? But I want to live like a hellion and do what I want to do. So that's what Jezebel represents in that text. Doing it my way. Whatever I want. Not saying, not thy will be done. They're saying, let my will be done. Okay? When verse 21, can't talk, says this, I've given her a time to repent of her immorality. Meaning God, again, listen to this. He gives so much time for individuals to hear the truth, for light to shine into their life, for them to repent, to turn from. He gives, I can't tell you how gracious God is in his forbearance and long-suffering and patience towards rotten sinners who are evil in nature. He gives them all the time so they can never stand before him in the great white throne judgment and say, I didn't know.
I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely until they repent of her ways. So I will strike their children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds. What is he searching for? Righteousness. Whose righteousness? Theirs?
There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand God. There's none that seek God. They've all gone out of the way. They've all gone astray. They've become an open sepulcher. Everything that comes out of their mouth is vile. So whose righteousness is it? It's Christ's righteousness. Back to our original text. His truth. You have to love the truth, okay? And you have to be in the truth. Truth isn't a concept. Truth is a person. What's that person's name? Jesus. Church we're talking about, folks. Listen, this is an individual church, which really means it's an individual member within a church. In verse 24, listen to this. This is very interesting. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets. His deep secrets. I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you know. What it's saying is, within that church, there is individuals. Just like I said, the seven churches represent seven individuals in every different church. This church represents the Thyatira person that's in there, okay? Represents, I'm going to do it my way. The ones that are in Thyatira, he's saying, hey, hold on. Do what you know to do, okay? But he's saying those individuals that are within the church that have learned the secret deceptions of Satan, you're ruined. We're back to 2 Thessalonians, where you believe the lie, you've incorporated the lie, and now you're going to get a greater lie, okay? What you want? It's coming, folks, and when it does, it's going to bring misery, heartache, pain, suffering. You've dabbled with the secrets of Satan, okay, in your rituals, okay, in your ceremonies. You've said, no harm, no foul. We can do this, and friends, here's the thing. Satan, what is so funny is God says Satan is laughing at you. You've swallowed the lie of darkness, okay, and he's just laughing at you because 3.5 years, okay, everyone is cheering this Antichrist, okay? When the tribulation comes, when the Jacob's trouble comes, when that period comes, okay, for 3.5 years, this guy, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, okay, the embodiment of Satan, is a nice guy. He's a guy of peace. Everything seems to be going well. He's established the earth. Trade is going on, and people are loving him for it. Everyone's shaking their hands and like, yeah, this is the guy. But then he turns on them. And the very people who supported him, the very people who gave him the platform, the very people who set everything up for him, he goes after them. He's now going to annihilate them. You've been following, thinking he's the deal. He turns on you. And you realize who he really is. He's Satan, and he's going to murder you, and you're outside of Jesus Christ. And what's the only way to get to heaven? If you do have some type of light shine into your heart, and you repent, and you turn from, and you turn towards God. The Bible says you have to be beheaded, okay? And you have to be a martyr. That is the only way you'll ever make it to heaven. The sad part is this. After 3.5 years of the tribulation, here's what comes. God's judgment. See, this has been part of God's judgment because he's allowed this person on the scene. But now God starts opening the bowls, the seals, the trumpets, the thunderings, okay? You haven't even begun to suffer, okay? The earth is plagued by Almighty God. His wrath, his vengeance, his anger is poured out upon the earth. Those who've decided another way is right, they're going to experience God's judgment. Hey friends, can you imagine that? You were believing this, but one morning you woke up and you've been left behind because you really didn't know Jesus? What you need to do is you need to look inside, and you really need to look inside. And you need to ask yourself this, do I love the truth? Do I love Jesus? Do I love his word? Is he number one in my life? Is he really everything that the Bible says he should be to me? Am I forsaking this crap over here? Not because I have to forsake it to get to heaven, but because here's the thing, I don't want to offend the God that I love. I have a relationship with him. Why is the Bible always referring to the church and Jesus as the bride of Christ?
I know there's a guy out there, he's like, holy Matt. Man, this was one heck of a devotion.
Hey, listen, what about me, Matt? I do love the Lord, and I love his word, I love his truth, and every day I get up and I pray and I try to live my life for the Lord. What about me? You won't be here, friend, during this time. You'll be with Jesus Christ. You're the Church of Philadelphia. You're that one in a church. You're one of many.
okay? But only one that is saved, okay? You're that individual who is salt and light to a lost and dying world that is going against the grain, that is not sold out to the world, it's not sold out to Satan, that's doing it by God's way, who has received the free gift and light entered your heart. And here's the thing, you've been living differently ever since that God got a hold of your life, okay? You're blessed of Almighty God. But can you see how blessed your life is now compared to what I just described is going to happen to the majority of humanity? See, this is the man cave. I'm hoping I'm talking to Christians, but I have to realize that throughout the man cave are those deceivers, those liars, those people who are secretive, those people with false identities, those people who are not in the way, but are on the Broadway, okay? I realize that those people will be listening to, and hopefully, maybe, perhaps, oh, only if God might shine some light into their heart, and they might return from, repent of, come to God, forsake, and give their life solely unto God. And trust in Jesus alone with their future. Trusting the true truth, okay? Not the false truth, but the true truth. Trusting in His way and trusting in His life. Trusting in the things He said, as He is the Word and the Logos. See, if we do it God's way and strictly through Jesus, okay, by the Spirit, we're saved, okay? If we do it man's way and by the deceptions of Satan and believing the lie and incorporating darkness, we're lost as the day is long, and destruction and misery and pain and suffering are coming our way. I'm talking to that individual who's living in the light. God bless you. Look at your life. Praise God for what you don't have to go through. To that person that's contemplating their life right now, I'm asking you to change. I'm asking you to get on your hands and knees and cry out to God for mercy and grace, because He is a God of mercy and grace. And He's been showing you long suffering, because you're still watching this and you've been living in the vile and returning to your vomit as a pig. Now return unto Jesus Christ. Forsake that. Be the prodigal, okay? This is Matt from the Man Cave.